The philosopher is the investigator into the unexplainable. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing and the University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, bringing you the absolute philosopher. The philosopher is the investigator into the unexplainable. Now, what is unexplainable? That's a very interesting situation that we wonder about. What is the unexplainable? A philosopher is an investigator into the unexplainable. Now, we've been told historically that to know God, man will be unable to know God and live. In other words, he'll die. And the Ark of the Covenant was built on this proposition as a giant electronic device where anyone who touched it, like a great battery, would be charged and sparkled, and the battery had such effective power that it virtually killed people. And so people were afraid to go in there. Now the priests, they either knew how to turn this battery off, or they were conditioned to it so that it did not affect them in a negative way. Now what is this unexplainable bit? The unexplainable bit would be, is there a divine presence that sets itself up as something that could kill people, that could destroy people if people knew it and if people knew it? And of course, the answer is an absolutely 100% yes. What? You say yes? That's right. What we don't know oftentimes hurts us very badly. Now you say, clerically and academically, nothing can hurt you. If you don't know about it, it can't hurt you. And that's not true. If you don't realize that if you take your foot off the brake, the car is going to roll down the hill and crash, you might take your foot off the brake not realizing that you did that very act which put that thing in motion. Now, somebody told you, do not take your foot off the brake. I'm going to put something under the wheel to keep it there because the emergency brake doesn't work and I cannot park it in any other way unless I put a block under the wheel. And you just sit there and casually determine to yourself, ah, that's not true. I'll take my foot off the brake and nothing will happen. And lo and behold, something does happen. It's unexplainable, but yet it's very explainable. We cannot have anything explained to us unless we are receptive to having the explanation. Now, what is the explanation of all life? What is the explanation of the creativity and the creation of man and of all that exists? What is the explanation of them? Now, they are there, and that is categorical, that is a fact. But why are they there? That is where the definition comes a little more difficult. Everyone has the answer of why life exists, of why they're here. Everyone has the answer of why they are here on planet Earth. Well, no, they don't. Everybody's asking the question, who are we? Why are we here? Where are we going? What is our purpose? No, they're not. Everybody knows and feels that they are very important. They feel they are number one. Now, to say that has been something that we've been taught we shouldn't say, because that's putting yourself above God, putting yourself above the creation, putting yourself above other beings. But no, that's what it is. Ask any child. He'll tell you that he's number one. He doesn't know yet. He hasn't been taught to cooperate with society and inhibit his thinking to believe something that he doesn't believe. But this is what we do. It becomes unexplainable. Now, I just explained how a child's thinking changes and how it reverts into a negativity rather than the positive that it should be. And you readily take that and you say, yeah, that's true. That's true. But why is that true? Why does it have to be true? You see, we have made things unexplainable and then we go about explaining them in our own point of view. We go about explaining them from our own understanding. And as we explain them from our own understanding, then what happens? What happens is that the definition, if it doesn't quite fit our emotional and intellectual and inspirational and illuminated understanding, we sort of take it and allow it to be a seed planted in our consciousness until eventually it grows into something that never was or never will be, because it is an illusion seed, a fallacious seed, and it is something that is creating for us the great problem. Now, when a parent tells a child that they're naughty and they're bad and they never will amount to anything, that's a little seed that's planted in the consciousness of the child, and all their life they're going to have to work with that burden, because they're going to say their mother, who is a reliable person, has made this response, and she knows what she's talking about, even though they don't want to agree with it and they don't want to believe it. We do this. We do this often. Our teachers, our society, our world, our ministers, our intellectual philosophers and our emotional philosophers and our, objective philosophers all speak out on various issues, and they want the world to believe what they're doing, like the Big Bang Theory. The theory is a theory, and it says it's a theory, and yet most people believe that it is really true. And it may be, and it may not be. But the big point is, what is explainable? How can we understand the unexplainable? Well, a philosopher is an investigator into the unexplainable, because the philosopher finds nothing sacred. There is nothing sacred. The minute you start talking about sex, it ceases to be sacred. The minute you start talking about child raising, it ceases to be something only for parents and only for people who have children and only for people who are aware of them. A child is a grown-up, a grown-up child. And however that child is raised and whatever that child is taught, as a grown-up, it's going to be inhibited or unlimited by whatever it's been trained as. So every being on the face of the earth is a child psychologist. Every being on the face of the earth knows how to raise children, because they know what is a good thing to have in the life of a child and what is not a good thing to have. They know what is a good thing for an adult to think and act like and what is not a good thing for an adult to think and act like. You see, everyone knows this. And so, therefore, we have no condition that is unexplainable. However, the philosophers are still investigating into these pseudo-unexplainable things, these unexplainable things that really are not unexplainable. And the wonderful thing about it is that as the philosophers come to conclusions, these conclusions at first shake the boat for many thinkers, and then after a while, it becomes sacrosanct. It becomes a law. I'm sure that at the time the Bible was written, and the Bible is the story of the religious development of a people, at the time the story of the Bible was written, they all wanted explanations for life. And so the first chapter of Genesis is the most amazing book, and in it is the story of creation and the story of everything from the pure, absolute objective point of view, with all of its inclusions and enclosures, and it's understandable. It's something that is what mankind can conceive, that a consciousness, a thinker, thought their thought and brought forth the world as we know it today. Then you go on in additional chapters of Genesis and the other parts of the Bible, and you find where the leaders of the people had difficulty with their people, and so they had created a big boogeyman. They call this God a big boogeyman in the sky, who is going to do things to you if you don't behave. And you see, they didn't want to take responsibility as leaders and say, no, no, if you don't do this, you go into our jail here. You go into this here. This is what I, as the chairman of the board here, I, as the creator of this philosophy, I, as the person who is the mayor and the governor and the president of this city, state, and country, I can perform these rules, and you must follow them. I am the wise one. And it's true, they are the wise one. They knew how to get a hold of you and how to manipulate you and control you. Now, what they forget to tell you is anything they have done, you can do too. Any thought, any attitude, any condition that exists in their life, you can do too. And when you do it, You are a super master of yourself. You are a super creator of yourself. You are the boss of everything that goes on in your world. However, we don't take that privilege, that responsibility. We say, what I read in the newspapers is what I know. What I hear on television and radio is what I know. What the mayor and the president and the governor and people of authority, the legislators and others, what they say, that is what it is. And I must live according to those precepts that they bring forth and present to me as rules for governing our society. And they even go into the absolute foolish statement, and they say, these are the laws by which our society is governed. There's only one law, the law of cause and effect. This has been taught constantly throughout the Bible. But people like to create law, and they like to feel, this is the law. It is something that must be done. You cannot read newspapers on Sunday. You cannot do this and that. You see, they had all sorts of fascinating laws throughout history, and some of these laws are still on the books. And these laws are as outmoded, outdated, and yesterday's newspaper as anything can be. But we believe it. We follow it. We don't want to get in trouble, so we do what the law calls for. And we have a great experience. Where is your experience now? Where do you stand on this great pillar of understanding in absolute philosophy? Where do you stand? Are you the philosopher who thinks without having any unexplainable aspects in your awareness? Or are you a philosopher who thinks, I don't know this and I don't know that and I don't know the other thing? Or are you a philosopher like Socrates, when anyone says, I don't know, well, what is it you don't know? Why don't you know it? What is unknowable about it? If it's unknowable, you must know something that it is not known by, and the very fact that you know that which is not known by, it is known by it, and therefore you know it. Herb, that is a bit of logical syllogism that is just way over the board. Yes, it is, isn't it? And it is true. It is true. We know. You cannot tell me there is something you don't know, because if you say you don't know something, then you are saying something that you don't know, but you know what it is that you're saying because you said what you don't know. Blah, 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 blah. That's right. Act like a stupid jerk. There's nothing that is hidden from humanity. As Socrates so long ago taught his students how to think. And because he taught them how to think, they thought in the process, many of them, that he was teaching them what to think. And a great philosopher anywhere in the universe, and we all are great philosophers, never teaches anyone what to think, only to think whatever thoughts we have in our mind, our heart, and our being. And as we learn to think the thoughts that we have in our mind, heart, and being, we will accomplish whatever it is that's a joy to us. We will accomplish whatever it is that turns us on, and we will know. Right now, we will know. And life is so exciting when you stop and think that you know it right now. So, the philosopher is the investigator into the unexplainable. And there is nothing unexplainable. That's why the philosopher can be an investigator into something that is explainable, though the explanation might come wearing many guises, many masks, many areas where you think it surely couldn't be. And as you open your mind and heart to it, you find that the areas that it is in are quite spectacular and quite lovely. Well, now, you have a lovely day, and let's ponder these ideas and come up with some significance that means something for you. Always think. As Socrates said, think about it. Don't just accept it. I love you. I love you. I love you.